Welcome to the Contracting Officer Podcast. It's not just for contracting officers. If you work anywhere in the government acquisition world, this podcast is for you. Today, we're talking about how external economic factors impact acquisitions. This episode is brought to you by Skyway Acquisition. Are you frustrated with the speed of your learning curve in the government market? Skyway's team of former contracting officers helps their customers of all sizes move faster, win more contracts, and manage the contracts they have more effectively. Go to askskyway.com to learn more. Okay, let's get this thing started. I'm not an economist, Kevin. Are you an economist?
No.
So why are we talking about economics?
I was helping a customer, one of my first customers, after starting Skyway with a proposal. And we were going through this strategy of, you know, recruiting the right people for the team, et cetera, for who will be working the contract after award. And the discussion was really centered around the idea of we're competing against large successful companies like Google and Apple, and all of these companies are competing for really talented people. And it dawned on me that we need to explain that in a way in the proposal that the government customer is going to get, because when I was a government customer, when I was a contracting officer, it's not the first thing I thought of. I didn't connect the dots to say we're competing with the whole economy for these people.
Yeah, government employees aren't impacted by external economic forces the way that industry is impacted, the way that normal people is what I almost said, but that's not what I meant. Government people, you're not normal. Just it's different between government employees and commercial employees.
Yeah, in 1998, when the economy was super hot, my friends were making three times the salary I was when I was a government CO. But then likewise, in 2008, when the economy was at the other end of that spectrum in the business cycle, I still had a job.
Right, a lot of them were out of work.
Yeah, so I was insulated from it. And then again, my salary didn't change, right? Well, the reason my salary didn't change is that the government's need for a lot of the stuff that they do isn't impacted by the economy. The VA still needs support. We still need to defend against nuclear missiles. That doesn't change just because the economy went up or down.
The important thing is that government acquisition teams account for the ups and downs in the economy when they're building an acquisition strategy and negotiating contracts.
And I didn't do that as well early in my career. As I became more of a student of business, it became more obvious. But yeah, in the early days, I wasn't accounting for it as much.
I may not have done it well in the late days.
What this does, it creates a misalignment of context of what's going on in the outside economy and in the private economy versus what the government customer sees, right? And that can create like a powder keg of assumptions where they're not understanding each other. And I can think of negotiations that I sat through where once they explained to me, this is what we see, what do you see? The conversation went better. But again, those are the ones that happened later in my career. And we're suggesting they should happen like now.
Speaking of happening now, let's stop and say thanks.
I want to say thanks to Malcolm Miles from J.H. Mile & Associates for liking and sharing our content, particularly for posting on LinkedIn about the podcast. And he said that his family groans when they hear the intro music for our podcast, but he said he doesn't care. He likes the content. He listens anyway.
Oh, man, his family hates my little song.
Thought that was funny.
All right, despite the fact that we're not economists, let's give a little bit of background on what we're talking about. We're talking about the economic cycle versus the government business cycle.
The economic cycle, the definition, so just bear with me while I read it. The economic cycle is the natural fluctuation of the economy between periods of expansion, which we call those growth, and contraction, which you'll know is a recession or even a depression if it gets crazy enough. And factors like gross domestic product, interest rates, employment, consumer spending, all determine the current stage of the economic cycle. So where are we in that cycle is something that's happening independent of what the government's doing. The government business cycle is the phrase for when the government manages or attempts to manage the business cycle. Legislators use fiscal policy to influence the economy. They use expansionary fiscal policy, which is things like lowering interest rates when they want to end a recession. And then they should use contractionary fiscal policy like raising interest rates to keep the economy from overheating. This is all economic policy. This is way beyond the scope of this podcast, but it kind of tells you the idea of what is going on in the background that we at the contract level have to at least account for.
Way bigger than the scope of the podcast and way out of our area of expertise.
So why in the acquisition world are we talking about economics?
economics, the FAR doesn't really speak to the economy. It's the Federal Acquisition Regulations. It's the rules for buying things in the federal world. The only place in the FAR where it actually speaks to the economy is FAR 4.602A2, where it's talking about the Federal Procurement Data System provides data, imagine that, on the effect of federal contracting on the nation's economy, but only in relation to small businesses. So how much of the federal budget is going to small business?
And that's a rear view perspective. They're not projecting what the economy is going to do to this proposal, to this contract going forward. They're saying, hey, how much money do we give to small businesses? And they're scoring the effectiveness of it. They're looking in the rearview mirror.
Right. So it's not really forward looking and saying, consider what the economy is doing to your acquisition strategy. Remember that these economic factors are outside of your contract. The price of labor, the price of raw materials, shipping costs, inflation rates, exchange rates, these micro and macroeconomic factors are outside of your control, outside of industry's control. These are things that happen to you that each time an acquisition strategy is considered or a contract is awarded, it's going to be different.
Understanding the impact of these factors on your individual contract and how they're outside of your control on both sides, but you still have to account for them, is the point of this episode.
I'm going to dip back to one of our favorite axioms. This is Hanlon's razor. Don't attribute to malice what can be explained by lack of knowledge. This is kind of like the calling card for you have to share context to make sure that the lack of knowledge doesn't exist, that knowledge exists. What if the government doesn't account for the impact of the economic cycle?
In 1998, I was buying business jets. The economy was up and more companies were buying business jets and the government was buying business jets too. So guess what? The price of them was up. We had to account for why this is a reasonable price.
Competition drove up prices, longer lead times.
And in some cases, demand outstripped supply on certain features anyway.
Right. If you'd have been buying Gulfstreams during a recession, you may be able to buy a Gulfstream that's already completed that someone else backed out of because of the recession. Bargain business jets.
That's funny to think about. Fast forward a few years and the economy was down and we needed to hire a construction crew to fix a tracking platform for one of the satellite tracking systems on a contract that was managing. And it was easy to find a construction crew because there were a lot of them that were looking for work. And then fast forward a few more years past that, we needed software developers for a phased array system, and software developers were in high demand. So all of a sudden, we have to pay more, just like everybody else. I mean, you see, when you start looking for this, you see this pattern.
Buying the same thing at a different time, and that crazy laws of supply and demand make it either really easy or really hard to find those resources. If you go to 2009, the effects of 2007, 2008, 2009, when the economy crashed, the government had a much easier time acquiring just about any labor or manufacturing because the commercial world was not hiring. They're actually laying people off. Companies were going out of business. And the government market is pretty stable in those types of situations. And if you look at the market right now in 2018, the economy is pretty good. If you're trying to hire any kind of engineer or software developer, it's very difficult right now because the demand for those skills is so high.
And if you've been in the government market for a while and you start looking for this cycle, these up and down patterns, you'll see them. They're pretty obvious.
All right, let's talk time zones. This is something that impacts government acquisition across all of the time zones.
In the acquisition time zones, because you're looking at the contract in front of you, you got to lift up your head and say, okay, what's going on in the overall economy? It's going to impact things like during the market research zone, get feedback from industry to see how is the acquisition plan really going to play out based on market conditions. And then in the execution time zones, same scenario where you look at, are things going to play out during performance like we thought they would during the acquisition time zones? Because if it's a five-year contract, when it's time for recompete, the conditions, they'll be different. They may be very different in 5 years.
Right. Unexpected changes during the execution time zones can impact contractors' ability to deliver on what they promised to deliver during the acquisition time zones. But certainly, if you have a 5-year contract, you got to look at what the conditions are now. You can't just, use this same RFP to rebuy what you bought or think that the same strategy is going to work. It may, but you shouldn't leave that to chance.
Which is why managing contracts after award is a whole different topic because it's impacted by stuff like this.
Let's get specific about why the government should care about the impacts of the economic cycle on the government's business cycle.
The business cycle can also be industry specific. So in addition to this big level economic stuff we've talked about, let's say it's US-based manufacturing. And so you need somebody to manufacture a piece of equipment, right? It needs to be made in the US. Well, it turns out that finding skilled machinists can be difficult in the US based on how the economy has played out over the last 20 years. They're coming back. They're still doable, but it's not easy and it might not be as cheap as you think is my point, or as quick as you think. So consider that, what if it's industry specific?
So a recession impacts the economy overall. But what you're saying is, independent of recession or economic boom, industries can be going through their own little booms or recessions. Think about launching things into space. Back in the 1950s, the only launches into space were government. So all of the rocket scientists, which we often use to describe just like smart people, but here we're talking about actual rocket scientists, they all worked for the government or for companies that supported the government to launch things into space. Over time, commercial companies started launching satellites into space. They still use the same rockets that the government used, and the only companies that built those rockets were government contractors by and large. What we're seeing now is commercial entities are entering the launch market. So you may have heard of SpaceX. Yeah, SpaceX is not a traditional government contractor. They're now launching government payloads into space. What this means for government buyers, the rocket scientists used to work for traditional government contractors. There was no other market for those people. Now, the traditional government suppliers of launch vehicles have to compete for those rocket scientists with commercial companies who may be willing to pay a lot more. So if you are a rocket scientist, there is a different kind of demand for your skills than there was just a few years ago.
And this is why competition, go back to competition and communication, are both important, because it provides context. Is what is the context of these rocket scientists? If you're a government contractor and you come with, this is how much it costs for this rocket scientist, and the government team doesn't realize that, and keep in mind, this is an isolated case, but the principle is still there. Is what if the government team doesn't realize the impact of some of the privatization of space access?
Right.
And the impact that has on what it costs. Those are factors that make a difference. Our awareness of the context of what's changing and how it's changing impacts how well these acquisitions go.
If the government doesn't account for how quickly economic changes can impact their acquisitions, they may not be able to buy what they want to buy when they want to buy it. We were just talking about launching rockets and the relative scarcity of rocket scientists. They used to be all focused in the government world. Now they're focused in the commercial world. The government may have more difficulty finding people that understand in depth the nuances of how to launch something into space. Another place this played out is due to Edward Snowden. If you are a contractor who supplies people or products to the intelligence community or anywhere that requires employees with security clearances, after Edward Snowden, the process for getting cleared and keeping a clearance has become much, much more complicated. What's that mean? It means that the labor market for cleared people is much tighter than it used to be. Many people have left the government business because they don't want to deal with the clearance process anymore. And for those that have stayed in, because the market's tighter, they can demand a higher salary for the same work because there's not as many people that are able to do that work. In some cases, the government was a little slow to react to that change and continued to award competitions to a lower price that was based on the previous economic conditions. Now that the economy is tighter, think about going into the third year of a contract where the competition was based on one set of economic conditions. Now those conditions are changed. You have to hire people. How do you hire these people when they cost so much more 3 years later than they did at the beginning?
And it's not just for competitions. It could be for sole source contracts where things need to be negotiated.
Imagine you have a cost type contract. It's for something that there isn't a lot of demand for. But let's say a contractor builds four of these things a month and you buy one a month. So you are buying 1/4 of their capacity. If the market for those products booms and the contractor starts building 100 a month, now you're buying 1/100th of their capacity instead of 1/4 of their capacity. So the cost goes down. The opposite is also true. If the market for these crashes and the government is the only buyer, instead of bearing 1/4 of the cost, the government now bears all of the cost to buy their one a month.
The factors that impact that change from 100 to one per month are almost always outside of the control of the contract you have in front of you. That's why this is so important to understand. Somebody's controlling them. It may actually be your agency. It may be the government, but your contract, how is your contract going to be impacted? And again, I'm raising my hand because I've walked into this and realized a little bit too late, and it was a messy negotiation. So it's better to be aware of what is the impact going to be on my contract. It's better to have that conversation about what is the impact to this contract so that you don't walk into a propeller.
This is another important point where industry sometimes wonders why it takes the government a long time to do things. Oh, you just bought these. You're just buying the same thing. Buy it the same way. These kind of changes can mean that buying it the same way doesn't get you the same results. And it takes time for the government to process a new strategy or at least analyze these things to make sure that buying it the same way is the right thing to do. And speaking of the right thing to do, let's wrap this thing up.
On the government side, make sure you have as much context as you can. And that includes context on the overall economy, as well as we'll call it the microeconomy in the industry you're buying in. Follow-on contracts are a great example of this. Where 5 years, it's a five-year contract, it's being recompeted. The labor market, the manufacturing market, the cost of steel, that's actually happened to me before, all kinds of things change. And it's not insurmountable. It's just frustrating if you don't think of it ahead of time.
Industry folks, remember that the government may not have that context, may not have access to that context. So when you're submitting a proposal or when you're in negotiations.
Or a response to an RFI before the proposal.
There you go. Great. Earlier in the process, as soon as you can, make sure you provide that information on why this is different, on why the economy has impacted the ability of industry, not just you, but everyone, to provide what they're asking for in the way that they're asking for it. The more context that you provide to the government and the more context that the government asks for from industry leads us to acquisition strategies and procurements that more accurately reflect the current economic conditions and give us better results. You know, back to it's all about the mission. A government's trying to buy something that satisfies mission so that they're providing something for the benefit of all of us taxpayers out here.
The whole point of this is to have a really great executable contract. The economy is going to impact that. Talk about that sooner rather than later.
And with that, I'll talk to you later.
See you, Paul.
Okay, that's it for this episode. Thanks for joining us. If you have questions about how to incorporate context on economic factors into your negotiations, visit AskSkyway.com.